Welcome to the Send Network Podcast, a resource for pastors, planters, and everyday missionaries looking to multiply new churches in places of great need. And now your hosts, Jeff Christofferson and Tim Wheat.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Send Network Podcast. I'm Tim Wheat, and today I'm kind of flying solo without my cohort and partner, Jeff. So I thought about this earlier today when we set this up. To see if he ever really listens to this, because we could say something about him and see if there's something that he'd come back with me on. But I'm joined by my good friend, Mac Lake. And so, Mac, say hi to everybody.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be with you today.
Man, I am super excited about this this interview with you today. Mac is a good friend of mine. We go back several years ago when I actually started in a new role. And part of my role as being a church planting pastor was having a conversation with you because I'd be working alongside of you. And man, life has just been so different since those first few conversations of the impact that you've had on my life. So, man, I'm so thankful to be able to share some time with you and for people to get to know you and your heart a little bit. So, hey, Mac, so just to start out a little bit, why don't you tell us a little bit about your role here currently, what you're doing, what you oversee, and then I'm going to have you kind of reverse that and go back to talk a little bit about your involvement in church planting.
Yeah, sure thing. So, Tim, I am the Senior Director of Church Plant Development, which means I work with our Send Network assessment, training, and coaching processes and oversee that team.
Yeah, and so that team has probably three primary functions, right? There is an assessment piece, mm-hmm. and a training piece, and a coaching piece. Right. Maybe unpack that a little bit for folks who may be just tuning in for the first time.
Yeah, so the assessment is something that we put together. It's a very fun, unique assessment experience. It's a two-day experience for those who are thinking about church planting. They come in to the city where they're considering planting. We have a local assessment team because our value is to see church planters assessed in context by people from that context. So the couples come into that city. The local team works with them for a couple of days, gets to know them, gets to know their story, their calling, and then gives them a recommendation as to where they're at in their church planting journey, what their next step should be, growth plan, and that sort of thing. So that's the assessment. Our training process, again, pretty unique. It's not your typical two-day information dump. We believe that training should be transformational. So it's our training is actually a several-month experience, about a six-month experience. It's highly interactive, using a lot of adult learning principles. And then the coaching. Once a couple is assessed and then they go through the training and then they start their church plant, Dino Snazy on our team is the one who oversees the coaching process. So every church planter is matched one-on-one with a coach who will walk with them for about 2 years after they get started. So it's just an incredible process from start to finish, relational from start to finish. We want to see these guys feel like they're a part of a brotherhood by being a part of the Send Network.
Yeah, you know, I know that we have been a part of this journey of ministry towards church planters for going on, I guess, 7 years
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And so just back up a little bit and tell us your history with church planting.
Yeah, I never wanted to be a church planter. I was, I guess, my first inkling of a call, I resisted.
One of those that, hey, I will never, and you never say that to God. I will never, and then all of a sudden you're doing that.
That's I literally right. said that. Not only did I literally say, I will never to God, but I said, I will never to Aubrey Melfers, the guy who wrote the book on church planting. I was in seminary. I was down in the gym working out, and he was down there, and he said, Mac, you need to take my church planting class. And I looked at him, and I laughed at him and said, Aubrey, I'll never. Never plant a church. I'll never be a senior pastor. And so 7 years later, I remember I had graduated shortly after that, but I called him about 7 years later and said, hey, God's called me to plant a church. And basically he said, well, you better read my book.
Right.
And he's been a great encouragement. But so that's sort of where it started. But I moved to South Carolina after seminary, got into an associate pastor position under Pastor Bob Barrows at Pawleys Island Community Church, and it was an amazing experience. He allowed me to lead in so many different ways, put me in the pulpit to preach on a consistent basis, stretched me, grew me, and then all of a sudden I found that God was calling me to plant a church. And when I shared that with him, he was, you know, sad, didn't want to see me go, but at the same time, he got behind me and supported me. So Pawleys Island was my sending church. Cindy and I moved to Carolina Forest, which is up in Myrtle Beach, and we planted Carolina Forest Community Church in 1997.
Mm, fantastic. And you were there for how many years?
7 years. Mm-hmm.
7 years. And a couple of thoughts just from that. And what I want to get to is we're going to talk about leadership development, because that's really kind of what makes your heart beat real fast. Mm-hmm. But I think laying a foundation, this is really interesting for a lot of guys. First of all, even at Pawleys Island, how significant was it that you had a pastor investing in you or empowering you? Or just talk a little bit about that for those guys who maybe who didn't.
Yeah.
Try to encourage them, or those guys who have the opportunity, speak to that.
Yeah. If you would ask Bob, are you a leadership developer? He would probably look at you and say no. Mm-hmm. But I learned a lot about leadership development from him. It was a small church at the time when I went there, probably 125 people. Mm. And every single Tuesday, he and I met, and it was relational. Mm. So we would sit down, and he would say, "How are you doing?" I remember one of the key questions he would ask me is, how full are your tanks? Mm. And we would talk about our spiritual tank, our emotional tank, our physical tank. And he just had this relational accountability, and he wanted accountability. It was a two-way relationship. He was older than me, but he would sit with me every week, and we would hold each other accountable in certain areas. I'd never had a leader like that, you know. And then I would come into his office and say, "Hey, I have an idea." And he would listen to me, and he would ask me questions. And then he would sort of vet it in his own way. And then he would say, "Okay, well, you know, keep this in mind and this in mind. Go try it. Give it a try." Mm-hmm. And then he would say, "Hey, I want you to preach a series." I'm like, "I can't preach a series. I've never preached." "Well, why don't you take 3 weeks and do a series?" Mm-hmm. So he was constantly giving me these stretch challenges without me really even being aware of it.
Yeah. What I find so encouraging about that I want to continue to, you know, share those stories is, you know, the normative size church is less than 100. Mm-hmm. And yet this pastor, out of a sense of just shepherding and encouraging and loving and leading you, mm-hmm. The fruit that comes out of your life through Carolina Forest and through now even what you're doing on a national scale. Mm-hmm. I really want to encourage those guys out there that hit those churches of, you know, 75, 100, 200, and they wonder.
Yeah.
And God uses them in significant ways to produce fruit that they can't even imagine. Yeah. So,
and to raise up other leaders. Yeah. And I remember it was my fifth or sixth year there. Bob and his wife got very, very sick. They got a rare disease. And they went into the hospital. And I got a phone call and said, "Bob and Lydia are in the hospital. They may not make it." Mm. And so all of a sudden, I was in charge of that church. Mm. Scared me to death. And for about 5 weeks, they were in the hospital. So I had to lead in his absence, preach, lead, do everything he did for about 2 months. And it scared me to death.
Yeah.
But it grew me like crazy. But he had prepared me for that. Mm. And so the big question for anybody listening is, who can step in and do what I do when I'm not there?
Oh, man, that's such a great challenge. Who can step in and do what you do mm-hmm. when you're not there?
Yeah.
And what that does is it kind of begins to force us, if we say, "Well, I don't know," mm-hmm. then we can begin to look around, well, who can I help prepare
yes.
to step in?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And it's always taking a look and saying, "Okay, what am I doing? What can I give away?" You know, I'll give you an example, leading meetings.
Oh. Yeah,
pastors just tend to think.
We love that, don't we?
We love leading meetings. Yes. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, leading meetings, you know, we think, "Well, I'm the leader, therefore I have to lead the meetings." Well, whoever said the leader has to lead the meeting, you know? So delegate the authority of leading, the responsibility of leading meetings, and delegate the authority of that as well. and you know, mix it around with your team. We do that, and I love watching my guys. I had one of my team members led the meeting yesterday, and he just brought a different spirit to the leading of that meeting that was really neat. Yeah. And so they're learning from each other by watching each other lead those meetings.
Yeah.
And so and what can we give away?
The beauty of that to me is giving away, and using that as an example, we're going to chase this for a little bit, using that as an example, they might not lead like you would lead. And in most cases, they probably aren't going to lead, especially if it's a younger leader.
Yeah.
What a great opportunity for them to then be coached a little bit. But what a great opportunity for you as a leader to learn how they led. Maybe there's some things that you can, you know, get better at as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a win-win situation.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
That's great. So you leave from there. You're sent out with blessings and love and encouragement to go plant a church in Myrtle Beach. And that was – what year was that that you
– 1997 is when we planted.
Mm-hmm. So 20 years.
It is 20 years in September, yeah.
Oh, yep, that's right. All right.
Yep.
So what would you say, and Carolina Forest is still a church, viable, and it's having an impact in there. So what would you say maybe is the reason that we talk about moving guys towards sustainability, and that's a big challenge these days given the economy and the challenge of even church planting. What would be some of the, I guess, principles or some of the reasons that you felt like Carolina Forest continues to have an impact, is still in existence today, influencing and impacting Myrtle Beach and beyond?
Yeah, it was really neat. I was there on Easter and went to one of the services on Easter. The place was packed. So exciting to see so many of the people that, you know, so many new people I've never seen before, but there were still a lot of the people that were there when
I was there.
Isn't
that a great feeling, though, when you go back?
Oh, great feeling.
Oh, all kinds of emotions with that. I know. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
But one thing I would say is when we planted that church, it was a brand new community. There was only 50 homes in that community when we started the church. There was nothing else within about, you know, 10 miles. So that was very scary for us. But Carolina Forest was a brand new community, and we knew it was going to be 60,000 people one day. But at that point, it was less than 1,000, you know.
Right.
And so we went and started a church there. But the great thing that did for me is it gave me a vision for the future. Mm. It forced me to look not at what that city was, but what could it be. Mm. And so from the very beginning, cast a very big vision for, hey, guys, we have the opportunity to shape a city from the ground up. You know, we can literally get involved with this community from the very beginning as a seedling, and we can influence it. And so we had a big vision for that community. And so I think a big, significant kingdom vision helps a church sustain. Now, that's not the only thing. The other thing I would say is leadership development. God surrounded me with some incredible leaders right from the beginning. I had a little leadership development system that I used with them right from the beginning, and so we saw, you know, a replication of leaders there, and there's some great people there. It's neat. I ran into one guy while I was there, and he came up to me and he said, "Hey, I'm still leading this area of ministry 18 years later." I don't know that that's a good thing. He should probably should have reproduced himself. But it was just so neat, the sense of pride and ownership that he had. And he is. He's a great leader, doing a great job in that area. So that's the other thing. And then the third thing I would say is wise financial decisions. I don't know that I was always the best at that. In fact, I know I wasn't the best at that. I had some good guys around me that kept me from making some really bad financial mistakes because sometimes my vision would outpace reality, the current reality. Yeah. And so I would want to make decisions that were a little too risky and radical. But I had good guys around me who were very good with finances, and that really protected us.
Yeah, so just to wrap that up or kind of summarize that, because that will have application to – parts of those will have application to any church planter. Helping a city grow, not so much. Maybe there's some guys who are moving into new areas of a city. Great challenge for them to think of, how can we make this city better as it grows? leadership development. You said you used a little bit of system of developing leaders. And so I know how guys are thinking out there, like, okay, tell me that system. We're going to tell them, but we're going to make them listen to the end of the podcast before they get it, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And then just some wise financial decision, which decisions that you made, which was bringing in the collective wisdom of other folks, I'm sure, mm-hmm. and leaning into them. Hey, man, I know what makes you kind of your heartbeat really fast. Mm-hmm. Just such a fantastic person. The influence that you've had on my life in so many different ways as a friend, mm-hmm. As a mentor, as a coach, as a brother, and mm-hmm. sometimes even as a pastor, even though mm-hmm. I've never served under you in that way. But the biggest influence is I've grown so much as a leader just by watching you, which is a big part of leadership development, I know, but also our conversations and discussions that we've had through these 7 years mm-hmm. or so. And so that's the value that I want to try to help add to some guys' lives today in the way of leadership development and remembering that our primary audience is probably church planters. Mm-hmm. So let's just kind of dive into that and say, why is leadership development so important to you personally?
To me personally, because when I was in high school, I was extremely shy. Mm-hmm. I was voted the shyest kid in my ninth grade class.
I was voted the cutest, which I have no idea why.
Were you really?
Yes, I really was. It's really sad when I look back on that now. But anyway, there was only
I acted surprised about that.
There was there was only two guys in the class. But still, you know. Anyway, so voted shyest.
Yeah, voted shyest kid. Had a strong passion for the local church and just loved Jesus, wanted to share my faith. Mm. But as I began to try to lead, people would tell me, oh, you're not a leader. You're not a leader. So I was told that for several years. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, because of my passion to make a difference for Christ and the kingdom, and because of the fact that I was told I wasn't a leader, it was very discouraging to me. And then I remember reading years later, John Maxwell, Developing the Leader Within You, and I think it's chapter one or two, where he said this phrase, and it changed my life. He said, some of the best leaders out there are learned leaders. There are natural leaders and there are learned leaders. And he said the reason that learned leaders are so good is because they understand why they do what they do. Mm. And I was like, I'm going to have to become a learned leader because I'm not a natural leader.
So you are the leader you are today because of John Maxwell.
Yes, yes.
Right. He's going to take credit for it anyway. So.
Right. Yeah, I would be nothing without him.
That's right. But that's so good. For guys, I think, and ladies to hear that there are those natural gifted leaders, and you look at them and go, wow, but leadership is a skill that can be learned. I know for me, part of my leadership journey was studying personalities. I'm fascinated by different personalities.
Yeah.
And the image of that leader was always this kind of decisive, dominant, take the hill, and everybody goes, wow, I would get behind him. And I knew that I wasn't that type of person. Yet I also felt God working in me to be a leader. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the beautiful parts of your leadership story too, is that you're more of a high eye. You lead mm-hmm. by influence and relationship, mm-hmm. and yet God has done a significant work in and through you. And so I, sharing with the guys out there, or the ladies out there, that God uses all the different personality types to be significant leaders because we can all learn and grow as leaders.
Yeah. You know, Tim, one of the things that I think is really critical if you're thinking about leadership development and you're thinking about the people around you, there are six conversations I think you need to have with your leaders on a pretty regular basis. One is their personality conversation. You know, what is their personality? You know, if they're a D, an I, an S, or C, or whatever personality assessment you use, really understanding that, and are they leveraging that for the advantage of the mission? Passion. What's the passion conversation? What is their passion? What are they most passionate right now? Are they operating in those passions? Strengths. Our team does strength finders. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having that strengths conversation. Which of the strengths are you maximizing right now? Which one are you not maximizing? You wish you could. There's the goals conversation. What are the goals that you're focused on? We do it every 4 months, you know, but what are 3 to 5 goals that you're focused on over the next trimester? The succession conversation. Succession. Who are you raising up to do what you do? Not necessarily replace you. That's one of the mistakes I think we make in leadership development. Hey, who's going to replace you? Who are you going to replace yourself with? Don't say that. Just say, who can you reproduce to do what you do? And then the last conversation is soul care conversation. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Bob Barrows, and that's really where I learned that. So one of the disciplines that I have as a team, we do as a team. In fact, we're doing it this month. It's called Pulse Check. And so I send the team 10 questions. The questions are varied. You know, some of them I keep the same, but we mix them up. And 3 times a year, I'll send them a pulse check. And so my one-on-ones last week and this week are sitting down and just asking pulse check questions. Mm. So, for example, one of the questions is, how does your family feel about your job right now? Mm. How would you describe your current pace in your job right now? What am I doing that you want me to keep doing? What am I doing that you would like for me to stop doing? Mm. Which of your 1 minute goals do you feel best about this past trimester? Mm-hmm. So those are just some examples of questions to ask. And it really is just a pulse check. Well, another one is, what area do you want to grow in right now, and how can I help you? Yeah. And so fun questions for me, because it keeps my pulse on my fingers on the pulse of those that I'm leading.
And what that makes leadership development, how can I put this, a relationship more than a strategy.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so, I mean, you've got your 6 questions that you ask, or your 6 areas you cover with them. But the end of the day is the secret sauce, or the main ingredient, is that there's a relationship. Would you say that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of leaders are afraid to get close to those they lead. And gosh, if you don't have that level of relationship, you don't have that level of trust, then it weakens your influence.
Yeah.
And I've found that the closer I can get and the better the relationship, the easier it is to have those difficult conversations. Yeah. They don't feel difficult.
Right.
You know, you have to have them sometimes, but they don't feel difficult.
I think that most people want to be led by a leader who is relationally investing or vested in them, more so than just, hey, here's a big vision, and they could feel somewhat utilized to accomplish a vision, rather than, hey, we're in this together, let's take this hill or take this, you know, this ground here.
Yeah, and I think changing our focus a lot of times, I want to build big people. Because if you build big people, they're going to accomplish big things, right? So that's why those 6 conversations are important, because if I know what your strengths are, and then I have a conversation every once in a while and say, hey, are you, you know, what percentage are you operating in those strengths? Well, if they say 40%, then, hey, that's hurting the overarching vision and mission of what we're trying to accomplish. But even more important than that, we're not maximizing the God-given ability of that individual. Mm. That's what I'm supposed to steward, is the God-given potential of those who are working under me. How can I help squeeze and maximize everything God's created them to be? Now, here's the thing. Sometimes that means building someone up and then letting them go, because you've built them up to a point you go, wow, they've grown so much, I can't keep them anymore. It's time to send them. You know, I've got one person on my team, and I've told them several times, you're not going to be here forever. Mm-hmm. You're too big. You've got great potential. I want to see you go. Yeah, I love you. I would love to work with you forever, but there's too much in you. We will keep a lid on you.
Yeah. Doesn't that honor the person, though, when they know that somebody is behind them in such a way that they want them to reach their maximum potential, and it's not about protecting something that the leader owns.
Yeah.
So that honors them, but it also is just another level of illustration of faith and dependency on God. When you release, I mean, we know how this is.
Oh, yeah.
You've invested in some people. You're taking the hill with them. They're right there beside you, and then it's like, oh, I want to keep you right here beside me. But the ultimate trust is in the Father who says, hey, I've got a different plan for them. I will bring somebody else alongside of you.
Yeah. You know, I have three kids, 22, 23, 26. Mm. You know, they don't live with me anymore.
Right, right.
The greatest joy, one of the greatest joys of parenting was raising them up and sending them out. Yeah. And we need to have that same mentality with some of the leaders that work on our team, is what can I do to raise them up and send them out to have bigger, greater impact for the kingdom?
That's great. That's a great analogy for us to keep in mind, too. So, all right, so I ask you why leadership is development is so important to you personally, and so let's shift it back to our audience and maybe hit that is, why would you say leadership development has got to be critical or important to the church planter?
Yeah, I think it's critical because I've never met a church planter that didn't have a big vision. Mm-hmm. Regardless of their model, they still have a big vision for the impact, the kingdom impact that they want to have. And so if you're going to have a big vision, then you have to have a big team. And if you're going to have a big team, that means you need big leaders. Mm. So this is where a lot of church planters get in trouble. They have the big vision. The vision attracts a big team, but then they don't have the big leaders to provide the leadership. So what happens is now you got a big team, but nobody's really leading. Now you end up with some really frustrated people, and all of a sudden it puts a cap on your growth because generally the church planter is micromanaging, making too many decisions, not empowering people with authority, maybe giving them some responsibility but not authority. They want to be involved in every single decision. And, you know, the longer you go, the fewer decisions you need to be making.
That's a great principle to keep in mind. When I'm developing other people and raising them up in an appropriate way to expand the vision or accomplish the bigger vision, I should be making fewer decisions for the broader sense of the ministry or the church, right?
Oh man, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, because when you delegate a decision, you're giving them a development opportunity. Mm. And even if they make a bad decision, you can talk it through. It's not going to hurt. You know, as the church planter, that main leader, that primary leader, your job is to make those big decisions, those hard decisions in the council of whatever your governance is, with the council of those people around you.
That's great. So leadership development is critical in order to accomplish the big vision that God is given. I've never met a planter who didn't have a big vision.
Right. Yeah.
But the strategy or the way to accomplish that, sometimes I know they fall short. So that's the reason we're talking through this as far as got to be developing leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of two questions that I'm trying to think where I want to go with this. One question is the how, and that's going back to your little system.
Yeah.
But maybe before we hit that, I want to contrast the whole leadership development, which is, hey, I'm going to develop some folks for me to help execute the vision that God has given me, which is usually, you know, the church plant that's going to have a significant impact for the kingdom in that community or that city. But contrast that with our continued challenge to multiplication, which is basically sending people out, and multiplying. Sometimes, like I said, there's that fear of leadership development is about me doing better at what God's called us to do as a church.
Mm.
But ultimately, what we want to be doing is advancing the kingdom and expanding the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you speak to the church planter about multiplication, sending people out while they develop these leaders?
Yeah. So I think you have to have a vision for your immediate geography, where your church is at, and that's going to take a team of people. That's going to take some leaders. But then you have to have a broader vision as well. I mean, God didn't just put you right there for that, just for that little community. I love what Vance Pittman says. He said, when God birthed your church, he birthed it with the kingdom, with the nations on his mind. And so, what is your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, utter ends of the earth? What is that for you? And so I know we put together a little exercise for in our multiply training in session 12, which is about multiplication. And it's a 9-block grid We base this off of The Art of Neighboring. Your friend wrote that book, Dave.
Dave Runyon.
Yeah, and so we took that a 9-block grid and the concept of Art of Neighboring, and we said, okay, now put your church in geography in that center block. Do a demographic study just on that. You know, it depends on the neighborhood, but let's say a 3-mile radius, and then in each block around it, do a demographic study on 3-block radius. Northwest, east, south, you know, et cetera, right. And begin to look for what are the other kingdom multiplication opportunities mm-hmm. around you. You and I worked on this
right.
tool,
mm-hmm.
and when we put that together, I did. I thought back, you know, 20 years,
right.
and thought about Caroline Forest, and I was like, oh my goodness, we left fruit on the table.
Right.
You know, there were opportunity to plant more churches. And when I thought through that grid and began to look for in our sake to the west and opportunities there, even literal names of people who were at our church came to my mind about we could have sent them, we could have raised them up and sent them. So I think yes, you have to have people to run your church and leaders to run your church, but it should be this, you know, constant reproduction of leaders for the sake of sending and expanding the kingdom, not just growing my church.
Yeah, and again, I want to bring back in, it sounds like I'm trying to over-spiritualize things, but ultimately this is an exercise of faith because God is a multiplying God.
Right.
Yeah. And he has the kingdom, he has the world at his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm going to be a part of what God's mission is about, then I've got to be thinking expanding and sending out. I mean, it's just consistent throughout Scripture. So that diagram, by the way, just I know we have an audience that's listening. To me, the diagram is the tic-tac-toe box.
Yes.
Okay, that's
yeah.
the easiest way.
Yeah.
And the church is right there in the center box.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you look around the communities, one way is where is God maybe already drawing some people
yeah.
from a particular another box, another area, and maybe that's the place that you're getting ready to send somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have identified there's another community in another box, another area, that has a distinct culture to it. Well, how can we begin to pray about reaching mm-hmm. that? It's a different culture than your church right there in the center.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so God uses all of that to be kingdom-minded.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what we talked about the whole idea of leadership development and how that influences and affects multiplication. So let's just kind of get to now the maybe a secret sauce for some of these guys who are like, okay, how do I develop a leader? Give
yeah.
me some real simple, practical next steps for how I can begin to develop leaders in my church plant.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, I asked that question when I was at Carolina Forest because we were reaching so many lost people and baptizing a lot of people. And I remember saying, God, we don't have enough leaders to, you know, to handle all of this. And so I asked the WWJD question, what would John Maxwell did.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. No, it's the what would Jesus do? And so that led me to read through the Gospels.
Mm.
I read through the Gospels and I highlighted everywhere I saw Jesus doing leadership development.
Okay.
And even before I answer this, Tim, let me say this. I think we have to shift our paradigm in the way we define leadership development.
Mm.
Leadership development is discipleship. I think the church does a decent job doing basic discipleship with new believers, but once someone really knows how to lead themselves and, you know, they've grown in their character and they have intimacy with God, that we sort of go, hey, look, they live like Jesus, and so let's put them in leadership, but they don't know how to lead like Jesus mm. yet, you know? And so we stop discipling them.
Mm.
And I think discipleship, we have to have a fresh focus on the discipling of leaders. And when you look at Jesus' ministry and when you look at his life from a chronological perspective, you'll see him meeting his disciples who were just interested followers at that point. They were following him around. And then they really began to learn from him, and he taught them some of the basics of faith. But then he really started working on them and developing them mm-hmm. as leaders pretty early on. I don't have time to go into everything, but one of the big takeaways for me was an overarching leadership development strategy for the church.
Okay.
And so I call it prepare,
okay,
equip, inspire. Mm-hmm. So we want to prepare new leaders. So that means I'm going to walk with them in a mentoring type of relationship. It might be two or three people. I always say don't mentor one-on-one, mentor two or three people at one time. Maximize your time. So prepare is walking with a new leader, preparing them to lead. Equip is that ongoing meeting with existing leaders, meeting with them regularly to talk about how they're doing, how they're growing, what their challenges are. And then inspire is getting all your leaders together. That's like a conference. So and that would be, you know, getting all the leaders together in the church once or twice a year, just doing a real inspirational type of leadership development thing with them, bringing them back to the vision and how their gifts and strengths and their leadership makes an impact with that.
Okay.
So you have a new leader, you want to spend a period of time just walking with them. Mm.
That's that relationship we talked about earlier, that relational investment.
Yeah, it is.
Not just read a book. Yeah, it's part of it.
It's part of it. And so, here's the little agenda that I use. You know, it's several C's. First C is I want to connect with them. Mm. So if I got two or three guys let's say I'm a church planter and I got two or three people that I want to raise up as leaders. Let's say I really want them to have a significant level of leadership. I want one to be our small group director and I want our other one to be our student director. Mm-hmm. But I got to raise them up to that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to schedule regular meetings with them probably every other week. When we sit down together, first I'm going to connect with them. Hey guys, how you doing? The more you get to know them, you ask deeper questions. You know, tell me about your tanks. How full is your tank? And we talk about the emotional, spiritual, you know, that sort of thing. So you're really starting with soul care. Second is celebrate. Hey, tell me what God's been doing in your life lately. And we spend a little bit of time celebrating. Third is coaching. And coaching is, and I did this with my leaders at Carolina Forest. I gave them all, you know, developing a leader within you, mm-hmm. you know, and say, hey, read chapter 1 and 2. We're going to get together and we're going to talk about it. And so a lot of time, one of the big mistakes we make is we hand leaders books, say, hey, read this, and we hope they get it.
Right.
But, you know, divide that book up. And so, you know, I'd divide, you know, for example, that book, I'd break it up into, you know, 5 or 6 sessions. Mm-hmm. So, hey, read chapter 1 and 2. We get together and we talk about it. Read chapter 3 and 4. We get together and we talk about it. And then communication is the next. Let's talk about when we're going to meet again. What are your takeaways from this meeting? What are your action steps that you're going to do? And then the last C is care. You know, how can we pray for each other? You do that again and again and again on a regular basis, and you begin to take people through books. And when you give them a book, tell them to read chapter 1 and 2 and ask these questions. What challenged your thinking the most? Mm. What questions did this chapter raise for you? What leadership strength did it affirm in you? What growth area did it reveal to you? What 3 to 4 action steps do I need to take as a result of reading this? What scripture passage came to mind, or what scripture passage illustrates the truth in these chapters that you read, mm-hmm. and what accountability question would you like for me to ask you? Mm-hmm. And so you just give them, type up those questions, say, read chapter 1 and 2, answer these questions, and then that's what you discuss when you get together.
Yeah, and that's such a simple outline, a simple system, if you will. Knowing you and being a part of some of our meetings in the past, I mean, that can happen in a, you know, 2 to 3, mm-hmm. but also those leaders that come together for like small group leaders, you know, mm-hmm. you got maybe 8 to 10 or 12 or even more than that,
yeah.
That you gather. That is still a template for those types of leadership meetings.
Absolutely.
I know all of us go to meetings sometimes and we sit there and going, where are we going with this? Or what's really going to happen? And those meetings that have a clear outline of what you're trying to, you know, the connecting and celebrating, coaching, mm-hmm. communicating, care adds value to them. and moves them along in their leadership development. So it can apply to 2 to 3 or 10 to 20.
You can use that same exact outline for equip. So in prepare, I'm meeting with a couple people to prepare them to be a new leader.
Right.
Equip, I'm meeting with existing leaders. I can use that same exact outline, same exact process. Somebody meeting with a team and just walking them through a study like that.
Yeah. Well, man, we've unpacked a lot today. So, again, that's just who you are. There's so much in you. And I know that we've added some value to these guys. So as I start to kind of land this plane for us today, some next steps, both next steps in, hey, if somebody's wanting to develop as a leader, what would be a clear next step or a resource or two, good leadership book? I know one particular that you've read and used for years and years. Yeah. But anyway, so just give us some of those.
Yeah. Next step, I would say, number one, write down an area of leadership you want to grow in over the next 30 days. Just write it down. It might be delegation. It might be communication. You know, write it out in a sentence, making it as observable, actionable as possible. Here's an area that I want to grow in. Second thing I would do is I would find a book, YouTube videos, articles. I would write down a few things that you could do to practice whatever that leadership skill is. And I would write down at least, you know, 5 or 6 things there. That becomes your growth plan for the month.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're saying, hey, in my discretionary time, I'm going to read, listen to, watch, do, interview, talk with, observe somebody, you know. So during my discretionary time, this is the one focus I'm going to have over the next 30 days, and I'm going to try to grow as a leader in this area. So I would do that and then have an accountability partner to ask you, hey, how did it go? What did you learn? What did you get out? So that's really the first thing I would say is I would build a personal growth plan around a very focused area. If you do that 12 times a year, that's 12 areas of leadership you can grow in, and you can literally see yourself growing as a leader. Most of us have a very diffused personal growth plan. It's, well, I'm going to read a little bit on preaching. I'm going to read a little bit on systems. I'm going to read a little bit on money, you know, and so in 30 days, you've exposed yourself a lot of information, but it wasn't focused information. It wasn't intentional personal growth. So I would try to really intentionalize my personal growth. Second is, I know what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Everybody that I hire reads One Minute Manager. It's just a highly relational leadership system. And then Leadership and One Minute Manager, which is a great developmental book. So I like for everybody on my team to read those two books, because if they read those two books, they'll understand the way I'm leading.
And those books could be read like in an afternoon.
I mean, that's what's so great. Pages.
That's right. That's what's so great about that.
Yeah.
So easy to read.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Hey, Mac, man, again, thank you so much for just the time today, but even just your obedience and walking with God through all these years of how God has continued to grow and develop you and seeing a lot of fruit of that these days. I know for us here at the North American Mission Board, your significant impact and influence towards the development of the Sin Network Assessment for guys who are considering planting, that's a great assessment experience to go through. And then the Multiply training for those guys who have been assessed and are, hey, I need some training to prepare your direction, your vision behind all that. Development, all that has really advanced the kingdom in ways that we won't be able to measure this side of heaven. But I know there's a lot of rejoicing in heaven these days because of that. So thank you for that. But thank you just for being my friend.
Thank you, Tim.
And appreciate you being here. Thanks for listening in today. And until the next time, this is Tim Wheat signing off here at the Sin Network Podcast with Mac Lake.
You have been listening to the Sin Network Podcast, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other resources to assist you with joining the mission of God, check out namb.net/send-network or email sendnetwork@namb.net.